We have got a great show for you today. We got some big announcements to make about the future of the show. So you're going to buckle up. Stay tuned. We got Chiefs end of the year awards to give out. We've got some openings and closings around Kansas City. It's restaurant week. We talk about what we tried this week. We got a hey look. There's KC. Some personal pine tars. And then the mixed plate of our favorite spam emails to get.
Mm.
Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is January 18th, and we've got some news to share, folks. After almost 4 years of doing this podcast together, we have decided that the show is going to be coming to an end soon. We don't have the exact date yet. We're going to be sure to stay on throughout the rest of the Chiefs run. Then we'll have a couple episodes to put a bow on this thing. But then that'll be curtains closing.
Curtains closing.
For the show.
Yeah.
So this is not a sad announcement at all. Danny and I talked earlier in December about this. And we've accomplished everything that we wanted to accomplish in this show. We're very proud of everything that we've done with this show. And so it was a good time in our lives to...
Wives, and lives, to
walk away. So, yeah, TBD on that final date.
But yeah. Hopefully it's deep into February.
We hope it's deep into February. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here on episode 191. And I think, like you said, coming up on 4 years here of doing this, I think we've missed 3 weeks.
Yep.
Three, maybe 4 weeks here and there of, but that's every week for almost 4 years, missing three, 191 times. That's a lot to put out there. And life is just busy. Mm-hmm. And we have regular jobs. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. I have two kids.
Yeah.
So that I don't think I've really talked about that a whole lot, but that's busy. And like you said, I mean, we set out to have fun while making this show. We have always had fun making this show, but it is because of everything else going around. I think there have been times where it's been like, man, I really wish... We had, you know, weren't committed to doing this every single week, and we love doing it. But you guys probably have seen this as well. Like, we have not been able to get interviews recently because just life just gets so crazy, and it's hard to find time to get Kevin and I an hour. Really, in all honesty, this takes about 3 hours from start to finish to record, and so. It's hard to find time for us to get together to do that, to throw in another hour throughout the week to do an interview. You're talking about finding 4 hours where all of our schedules align throughout the week. It's just, it's very, very difficult. So you've probably noticed how, you know, we haven't had a ton of interviews recently, and that's just because, it's not because we haven't been trying. It's not because we decided we're going to stop doing interviews. It's just because it's really hard to pull off on a week by week basis when all this other stuff, you know, starts to accumulate in your life, all these other obligations. And, you know, during COVID was kind of a blessing because, you know, one, we were in that first year of COVID, work was just so different and everything was virtual. And so we were able to do, you know, all of our interviews virtually and we worked virtually and we didn't have all these other obligations because there was just less going on in the mm-hmm. world during COVID. But like coming out of that, again, our lives just getting busier and busier. It's just, it's hard to find 4 hours a week aligning your schedule with someone else. And it's a ton of effort. And again, we've loved it. We've had a blast. But yeah, all good things come to an end. And yeah, super proud of everything that we've been able to pull off. I think we've talked about this. And I think throughout the next 4 or 5 weeks, hopefully, you know, all the way to the end past the Super Bowl, we'll have opportunities to kind of put out some old content, put out some content from like our very first episodes. Mm-hmm. But we set out when we started the show to Our original idea was to do a 20-minute episode once a week. That was the original idea. We recorded a test episode, and it was like an hour and a half because we just kept talking. And so we realized the 20-minute episode wasn't sustainable. But you know, we also thought there would be 50 to 100 listeners per episode. And you know, we've far exceeded that. We've accomplished way more than we ever thought we would. We've gotten to meet people that we never thought we'd be able to meet. We've been able to be a part of opportunities and hosting events and just like being placed and put into the scene in Kansas City at some points that we never thought we'd ever reach. And it's been amazing. It's been a ton of fun. But 4 years of doing a podcast is an accomplishment. And I feel proud, and I feel like it's a good time to step away. I'm glad we have this bye week to talk about.
Recap. Yeah, it's crazy to think about too. That's 191 episodes, so that's like 190 hours of us talking,
I know,
putting things out there. That's a lot of content to come up with. And we've been able to learn this skill of being able to produce that content and come up with new things every single week, which has been such an exciting challenge. And then it's been a bummer that our lives have become so busy. Not a bummer at all. It's been a bummer that we haven't been able to do the interviews, because that's one of our favorite parts is getting out, meeting people from Kansas City. The connections that we've made through this podcast have been incredible. Still connect with people that we've had on the podcast, people who have helped us along the way, which has been really, really awesome.
Yeah, so, agreed. Yeah, so again, there'll be more you know, content related to kind of the end of the show coming out. We're going to try to post some, you know, some of our original videos, some of our original photos, some content from just all the stuff that we've done over the last 4 years. And so there'll be more of that to come. But yeah, I mean, we wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't just like end it on the last show and announce it on the very last show. We wanted to kind of give a little bit of a runway here. And so again, we're definitely going to go through the end of the Chiefs season and then probably a couple episodes after that to put a bow on it. And yeah, I mean, it'll be weird not having, I mean, I know the, again, the last like few months we've done a lot of Tuesday recordings because, you know, of your traveling, my traveling, different things popping up. And that's just another factor, but it's going to be weird having Monday nights open and not having like I've had something every single Monday night for the last almost 4 years. For again, behind the scenes total, we spend about 3 hours on Mondays together, putting this out. And so having that 3 hours back, I mean, all of you can probably relate to this. Imagine having like a 3 hour block once a week on your calendar. It's difficult. And so, we've had a blast. More to come on wrapping things up and looking back at the past and some of those cool things. But yeah, we just wanted to let everyone know that it is time. And that's about it.
We came from, I remember the first microphone that I bought. I think you could only plug two microphones into it, and I could not figure out how to get it to work at all.
Yeah.
So I sent it back and was like, all right, maybe we just can't do this because I can't figure out this technology at all. I was like, all right, well, maybe we just stop there. But then eventually I was able to do enough research to find the right equipment, hook everything up, and then now here we sit almost 4 years later, and we've got these professional microphones, we've got professional video equipment, a boom mic, like
Professional producer.
Come a long way
in
this podcast.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome. We love that we had the support to do this, that people kept showing up and listening.
For sure.
Interacting, sharing with friends, sending us guest ideas, volunteering to be on the show. All of that has made it such a success. So we really appreciate everybody who's listened.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. So more to come, but time to get into our regular scheduled programming here.
Start with football.
Okay, let's start with football. Let's start with Chiefs end of the year awards.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the Jaguars at all?
A little bit? Sure, we can talk a little bit about the Jaguars. Are you nervous at all that Trevor Lawrence has never lost on a Saturday in his life?
No.
Does that make you nervous?
It does not.
It seems like a stat that carries a lot of weight.
Yeah. people like to be remind people about it. Not nervous about that. I think we're 9-point favorites to open. I thought I saw maybe it moved to 8.5, but right around there at 9. That's pretty good. Right?
For a divisional
for
round.
For a divisional round to be favored by 9 in that situation. I know we are pretty good. I need to look up the stats, but when more than a 7-point favorite, I would be willing to say our record is probably in the 90-something win percentage.
As far as when we're favored by, I think it's maybe it's double digits is where this stat comes into play. We are the best at winning those games since 2018. We are not great at covering them.
Yeah, I believe that.
But we are the best at winning those games where we're large favorites.
Yeah, so, I mean, we played the Jags already. That game was, you know, the score ended up being closer, but I remember us sitting here talking. Like, we really did dominate that game. We had three turnovers.
Battle.
Yeah, that was the...
Lost the opening onside kick. Turnovers.
Yeah, lost the turnover battle 4-0 and still... we were up 27-10 with 5 minutes left in the game. Jags scored a touchdown with 5:30 left to make it 27-17. So we still won by 10 in that game in week 10. We didn't – I mean, Mahomes played amazing other than the three picks. No, was it all three picks or was it
– There was a Pacheco fumble. There, I think. Yeah. Fumble mixed in there.
And then they threw
a bad pick.
The onside kick. But Mecole Hardman didn't play. I'm not sure if he's going to play this week.
I don't think he's going to play.
Juju was concussed in the second quarter. So it was one of those games where we looked like the much better team, even though we had lost that turnover battle. So right now I'm not nervous about the game. Right now I think we will win the game handedly. But as we get closer.
I'll tell you the things I'm nervous about.
Okay, tell me.
Travis Etienne. I think about us covering running backs in general. I'm worried about.
Okay.
I'm worried about
Dougie P.
Being very, very aggressive, which he will be, and he should be, going for it on fourth down whenever he can, not kicking field goals. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the coach who will do that, and that is what it takes to beat the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Not settling for three, going for it on fourth down consistently, and so that's what makes me nervous. And then... nothing really on offense makes me that nervous.
No.
But Trevor Lawrence is good. He's good. He's got good weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a really good head coach. So those are the only things that be a little bit
Dougie
nervous.
P makes me the most nervous, I would
He's going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
And like he should be. And weird things could happen. They could be 5-for-5, 6-for-6 on fourth downs to hang around in the game. They could fake a punt. They could have another onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
Really, anything I think is in play for the Jaguars.
Yeah,
because it's him coming into Arrowhead. If he loses, he goes home. So why not?
Yeah, no, he's already exceeded expectations on the season, being in the divisional round.
House money.
So yeah, he's completely playing on house money. So yeah,
and
that's
a gambler like that. That's dangerous.
That's the biggest thing that makes me the most nervous. I think we can contain Trevor Lawrence. I know Trevor Lawrence is really good. I agree with that, but you know, I think we can contain him. He does a lot of like what Herbert does. Like, if you look at his average depth of target, he does a lot of like taking the checkdowns. He does a lot of keeping things
in
front of him.
Very, very quick.
He doesn't throw bombs. So I think where our secondary is liable is on deep throws where either complete it or we commit defensive pass interference. I think when our defense is able to keep the play in front of them, we don't commit. We commit a lot less penalties. We play more zone and we leave our guys on islands less often. So like we commit again, less of those penalties and control the game a little bit better on those type of passers. So, I feel good about it, but yeah, obviously I'll be nervous as hell. Saturday is going to be electric. 3:30 on Saturday. It's going to be raw.
3:30
uncut,
on a Saturday.
Black tar, uncut Raytona Beach. Like, Arrowhead is going to be an insane atmosphere. So the crowd is going to be berserk. By the time the game ends, I mean, most of the second half, it will be dark. So it'll be like that daytime kind of Arrowhead magic that comes with that, but then nighttime when the game ends, it's going to be incredible. I had this take, and again, I'm willing to sacrifice this, but like, as a father of two, again, not sure if I mentioned that, I would rather the game be on Sunday because then I can go hard and then send the kids to daycare on Monday and kind of just like work from home, quote unquote, work from home on that Monday. Whereas now I'll have to be a dad all day Sunday and I don't have the ability to ship the kids off to daycare on Sunday and I'm going to have to be home with the kids. So again,
what about grandparents? Can you just ship them off there on Sunday?
I mean, we've been asking a lot of both sets of grandparents recently, and we were just going through this. I have like vacations and other stuff. We have a lot of babysitters due. So
have parent hungover.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to parent hungover all day Sunday, so that's gonna be rough. I'd rather work hungover than parent hungover. If I had one kid, it'd be different. Two kids, no. So anyways, but I'll sacrifice because Raytona Arrowhead is gonna be absolutely electric. So I can't wait to see.
Any word on a keg yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
The Godfather is one of the worst texters of all time.
He's bad.
He's so bad.
I love him. I love you, Joe.
I love
You're
him
bad
too.
Texter.
Bad texter.
And he's a green. He's got the green bubble too.
He's a green texter. They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. Okay. I mean, Mahomes and
there's a keg there.
Mahomes' career numbers in the divisional round: 4-0, 70%. Oh, sorry, 69% completion percentage. Nice. 308 passing yards per game. 12 TDs. Zero INTs, 8.2 yards per attempt, 114 QB rating. I mean, Mahomes in the playoffs is a god. So
bring it to another level.
Let's go.
Okay. All right. End of the season awards.
End of the season awards.
You want to start at the top of the list?
Let's
go down or?
The top of our list right here?
The top of, yeah, the one that you emailed me.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
You start.
Do you have a favorite play call? I didn't see you pick one.
Oh, I did not. Shit.
Okay.
You go.
Mine is...
So announce the award first.
Okay, favorite play call of the year. But I didn't really have a good one. And as I was looking for sweet plays, I forgot about this one. But Mahomes on the Bengals, when he just dunked on him over the goal line.
Yeah.
Like literally looked like he was dunking on them. I don't know if that was the play call, but Mitch Holtis had a good call there.
Okay.
So that was my favorite play call of the year.
I'll go with...
Mahomes dunking over the goal line.
I'll go with... recency bias. I'll go with ring around the rosy.
Yeah.
I'll go with just guys being dudes, having fun. The toilet bowl. Yeah. Ring around the rosy off the top of my head. I'll go with that.
Okay. Let's see.
Next? Okay. My next award, the Mahomes broke the internet play. I'm going with the no look flip against the Broncos to Jerick McKinnon. So running to the sideline. Looking like he's like looking out of bounds, looking like he's going to run out of bounds, and then just underhand flips it to like he's playing bags, flips it to Jerick McKinnon, who takes it for like 45 yards or whatever it was. Again, one of those, the entire timeline, your entire Twitter timeline just fills up. Oh my God, Mahomes. Oh my God, Mahomes. Mahomes, Mahomes. One of my favorite plays.
All right. My favorite Mahomes broke the internet play. Is the no look. I'm calling it like a pop pass to Clyde versus the Bucks. Because that was Sunday Night Football. It was prime time. It was, I think, their first time on Sunday Night Football that year or this year. So it broke the internet. Everybody was talking about it. Collinsworth had the great call where he said it looked like a dad versus kids. And that's what Mahomes looked like, really toying with the Buccaneers, which was great to see. So that's my Mahomes broke the internet. Next up, we got an award for the most underappreciated player this year.
Oh, dude, I had a low-key insane Mahomes play.
Yeah.
Did you have an award for that?
No, I don't.
Okay. My low-key insane Mahomes play of the year, where it didn't break the internet, but, I mean, it was incredible. The perfect pass to Jody Fortson against the Chargers when it just, like, in the Chargers on, I think it was Sunday night, and it just, like, dropped in, just boom, right into Jody Fortson, who's being perfectly covered. Perfect pass. Didn't like break the internet or anything, but it was unbelievable. Honorable mention was in that same game. People forget we were down by four and we converted on a 3rd and 17. Basically backed up
scramble.
Against our own. No, that was a different game.
Okay.
That was at home, but this was, that was the Chargers at home, I think.
Okay.
But this was against the Chargers as well in Sunday night. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Most underappreciated player. I'm going with Juju Smith.
Okay.
Juju Smith-Schuster, just as far as the consistency that he's brought to the team, a guy who can get open in man-to-man coverage. They design plays for him specifically on 3rd and short, 4th and short, when they need a completion. been very underappreciated to have that reliable of a target. Doesn't get all the hype that Travis Kelce gets. I feel like I hype up even Kadarius Toney more than Juju at times. But I love Juju Smith-Schuster. He's been a rock this year.
He's been a rock. I like that. Okay, my most underappreciated player of the year, Joe Tooney.
Joe Tooney.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think people don't really talk about Joe Tooney a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the number one guard in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. He's so reliable. Like the only knock that he has, slight knock, is his run blocking. Which who the hell cares? Running the ball is stupid when you have Patrick Mahomes. So he's like literally on a different level when it comes to pass blocking, and so much better than every other guard at pass blocking. And that's what we need him for. And Joe Tooney is the best in the league at pass blocking as a guard. So most underappreciated player is Joe Tooney.
Okay. Do you want to go next?
Sure. My this award is the Worst Andy Reid Decision Award. So I get frustrated with Andy Reid and his fourth down decision making. There's a really good article on Kansas City Sports Network about his fourth down decision making. But the kicking the 55-yarder against the Bengals just to tie the game. We talked about this after we lost to the Bengals, but you know, kicked a 55-yarder, Butker missed it. All that would have done was tie the game and give Joe Burrow and that Bengals offense, which we had not stopped, I don't know, what was it, 3 minutes to go down and get into field goal range? That's not how you win games. That's how you lose games. And that's one of the reasons we lost that game, that decision. It was a fourth down and seven, and we went with a 55-yarder instead of a seven-yard play.
It's been odd to see how much less aggressive he's been this year compared to years in the past.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that change in the playoffs.
That's what the
Kansas City Sports Network article.
And they essentially
documented it well.
And here's the quote from that as we're on Andy Reid. He's had 20 fourth down decisions that were clear go for it situations according to the analytics, right? So according to analytics, which look at past history of NFL plays, that's not just made up. The analytics take into account your opponent, they take into account the time, they take into account the score, they take into account your chance, the Chiefs' chance of succeeding based on all of our previous plays, our success as an offense. So 20 fourth down situations where it was a clear go for it, he's only gone for it six times. Mm-hmm. That's a 30% go for rate, which is third worst in the NFL. And he's not even failed in those situations. In the six that he's gone for it, he's 5 for 6. So he's converting at an 83% success rate when he does go for it. He just doesn't go. He only goes for it 30% of the time. So in all fourth down situations, he's 9 of 12. So we convert 75% of our fourth downs. In clear go for it situations, we convert 83% of the time, but we only go for it 30% of the time. That is whack. That's way off. So again, there are bad teams that maybe shouldn't go for it as much, because they're a bad team with a bad offense. We are a very good team with a very good offense. So we should go for it more than
and
everyone else
very,
in the NFL.
Very, very good creative play caller.
Exactly.
And a quarterback who can create when things go bad.
It makes no sense. We convert fourth downs on 75% clip. On the clear go for situations, we convert at an 83% clip, and we only go for it 30% of the time.
All right. We'll stay on Andy Reid decisions, bad ones. I'll tell you something else that doesn't make any sense. It's kicking extra points, period. I've been team go for two every single time when Pat Mahomes is your quarterback. And I think, again, it proved right this year. I think Mahomes would have to convert maybe, I think I did the numbers, it's like a little over 60% of the time to be better than Butker at how often he converts PATs.
Wouldn't he just have to be successful 50% of the time? To be,
oh, I guess
Butker
it would be
100%
like,
accurate.
Yeah, so it would be only like 40% of the time.
Something like that.
Something like that. I ran the numbers once.
Yeah,
because Butker's accurate like 85% of the time, I think.
Yeah.
So Mahomes could do it.
So let's go to Andy Reid. Good decisions.
Sure.
My best Andy Reid decision of the year award goes to quote unquote benching Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and CEH is done. He's cooked. He's finished. He doesn't contribute.
He's practicing. This week.
I know.
He's going to make a return.
Disgusting. I don't want to see CEH.
Uh-huh.
I hope
think if he was taking up quote unquote a roster spot. I hope he does not.
Over
Colquitt.
Colquitt.
Yeah.
So yeah, benching CEH, best decision of the year for Andy Reid.
All right, my best Andy Reid decision is drawing up plays for Kadarius Toney.
Mm.
That's been my favorite thing that he's done. As soon as he got Kadarius Toney, reached into his bag of tricks. I've seen him run all these screens. He just lined him up in the backfield and ran Tyreek plays, run plays with Kadarius Toney too. So I love that. Immediately after getting Kadarius Toney, he started drawing up plays for him.
Okay. My best new player on offense, I'm going Juju. For a lot of the reasons you said, I think he's our most dependable wide receiver. I mean, obviously, Travis is the most dependable pass catcher, but I think he's our most dependable wide receiver in those gotta-have-it situations. Those situations where you absolutely need a bucket. You have a good basketball team has that guy who can get you a bucket or get to the free throw line in a must-have situation. I think Juju's that for our wide receivers on this offense.
My best new offensive player, Isaiah Pacheco.
Yes.
I think as he has stepped into the starting role since then, it's been so exciting to watch. Run game's different. McKinnon's been mixed in more, too.
Oh, yeah.
So just
AFC Offensive Player of the Month, bro. Yeah.
Isaiah Pacheco, what he's done as a rookie has been incredible. And it's like, future's bright for this kid. Like, it's going to be really, really fun over the next years to watch him.
Best new player on defense. My award went to Trent McDuffie.
McDuff
Island. He is everything that was promised. I think he had an amazing rookie year. I think we're seeing more and more that these skill positions can come in and have an immediate impact. I'm talking wide receivers and cornerbacks, really, where they can be rookies and be, I mean, Sauce Gardner is first team all pro. We've seen a ton of rookie wide receivers come in and make an immediate impact. I think Trent McDuffie is the future at the cornerback position for the Chiefs and a very, very bright one. And we haven't had a true like lockdown corner like that since like early Marcus Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And even then it was like, he got interceptions, but he kind of gave up some yards type of guy. But McDuffie is a real lockdown type of guy.
All right. I'm going my new player on defense, George Karlaftis. 6 sacks this year.
Mm.
And I feel like, too, the second half of the season, been very reliable. And just to add so much depth to the defensive line, too, where he gets snaps. He's able to disrupt pass plays. He's good against the run. There's a good big hole to fill in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
and he stepped in nicely.
All right, the award for one reason you think we'll win the Super Bowl, Andy's going to call the good plays.
Call the good plays.
Andy Reid, you know, it's talked about a lot, but like I think he saves his good plays for good opponents, and you know, I think that's why when we play inferior opponents like Texans and Broncos and others, you know, our offensive scheme looks bland and different things like that. That changes in the playoffs. We call the good plays in the playoffs. And Andy Reid is still, like, by the advanced, there's a lot of advanced metrics coming out as far as, like, using player tracking data. And you can track a wide receiver and how close the closest defender is to them when they're throwing the ball. And Andy Reid is still one of the best at scheming open wide receivers. Even though it has felt frustrating sometimes, Andy Reid is still one of the best at scheming open receivers. So Andy's going to call the good plays.
All right. My one reason I think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl, Chiefs are going to win the turnover margin in every game from here on out.
Oh, wow.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Spags dialing things up. I think he goes into a different mode in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could see a lot more turnovers created, and Pat's going to take care of the ball. I can see us winning the turnover battle in every single game from here on out, and that's why we would win the Super Bowl. That's my one reason why. Did you add any more?
Yeah, I had this one that you've got.
Okay, seems like he's trying really hard, so we should be nicer to him, Player of the Year. Frank Clark.
Okay.
He still seems like he's trying really, really hard. He gave my nephew a Gatorade at training camp, too, and made his day.
You called that he was going to have a huge year.
Have a huge year. And he's tried really, really hard this year. And he's still trying really, really hard. And he seems like he's pretty nice, so we should probably be nice to him.
Okay. My award for he seems like he's trying really hard and we should be nice to him, Player of the Year. I'm going with Orlando Brown.
Okay.
Orlando Brown has had some bad games, but he has not been as bad as everyone thinks he's been. Pro Football Focus, again, not end all be all, but they listen, whoever is listening to this show, Pro Football Focus watches more Orlando Brown tape than you do. That's just a fact, mm-hmm. Okay? So, yes, we can be frustrated with Pro Football Focus, even though they gave Travis Kelce the number one player at his position. Pro Football Focus gave Chris Jones their Defensive Player of the Year award. Pro Football Focus gave Pat Mahomes their MVP award. So we literally won the two biggest awards,
yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. We're both Chiefs players, according to Pro Football Focus. So, like, they're not biased against the Chiefs. I promise you, person who is listening, Pro Football Focus is not biased against the Chiefs. They rated Orlando Brown as the 17th best tackle in the NFL. Yes, he had some bad games. Yes, he gave up a lot of pressures, but he's asked to block more than any other left tackle in the NFL. He didn't miss any games. He played a ton of snaps. He played 1,133 snaps, more than any other offensive lineman on our team. That can't be overlooked. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. We knew that. He's not going to be the most athletic tackle, but he gets in the way. He does his job better than most. Better than most. So that's my award for seems like he's trying really, really hard, and we should be nicer to him, Player of the Year.
All right. My next award goes to the player who loves having Patrick Mahomes on his team the most. I'm going with Jerick McKinnon.
Yes.
The resurgence of Jerick McKinnon. He's catching no-look passes. He's caught, was it 9 or 10 touchdown passes this year?
Something outrageous.
Outrageous stat. And I don't think anybody loves having Patrick Mahomes on his team more than Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah. All right. My award for loves having Patrick Mahomes on his team the most goes to Travis Kelce. Kelce's the best tight end of all time. And that's clear. But yeah, a lot of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback of all time. So, Travis probably loves it.
All right, and last one I've got here is the Dave Toe Bonehead Decision of the Year Award, and I'm going to go with having Sky Moore as the punt returner.
Mm.
I went to training camp. I watched the players. I saw Sky Moore struggling to catch punts.
You, Kevin Ritz.
Me, my eyes. And I said, he should not be the punt returner. He's going to fumble punts. And that's exactly what happened. And Dave Tobe kept putting him back there. So there's my Dave Tobe Bonehead Decision of the Year Award.
My Dave Tobe Bonehead Decision of the Year Award goes to taking up too many roster spots.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. He's got too many guys on his roster that are just special teams only. No room for that. So that's it.
Unless it's Dustin Colquitt holding kicks.
Yeah.
Then I'm here for that.
Yeah. So there's our end of the year awards. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Let's move into some openings this week. This week, the first one we've got is, what I pronounce this, Chintez on the Hill?
I think, yeah, Chintez.
Chintez on the Hill. It was Sarah's on the Hill, the pizza spot.
Mm-hmm.
And now we talked about it a while ago.
Yes.
Sounds like they're finally opening the doors.
Big opening party the doors. Going on. Yeah, big party. Grand opening happened, I think this past Saturday, I think, was the grand opening.
Okay.
I think the restaurant itself, like, kind of always stayed open for, like, carryout pizza and was always still cooking pizza. But they did some renovations. They did a lot of work as far as, like, getting the bar in place, getting licenses and everything. So they officially did their grand opening. It's kind of like a Mexican-themed pizza place. So it's going to be still pizza-focused, but some Mexican-themed pizzas. They're going to have live music a lot, some arcade games. They're going to have, like, a lot of trivia nights and different things going on. This is in downtown KCK. They're going for a real community feel there. So the only Mexican pizza I've ever had is at Taco Bell, which is freaking good. And Mexican pizza from Taco Bell is delicious, but I imagine it can be done better. We'll see.
We'll see.
I love Taco Bell. But this is Chintez on the Hill. It is now open in downtown KCK. Took the place for Sarah's on the Hill, which was also a pizza place.
I've never had Taco Bell's Mexican pizza.
Wow.
Don't have plans to ever
try it. You got to try it.
Is it that? Really?
Yeah.
What's on it?
It's good.
Meat, cheese.
Yeah, meat, taco. Cheese, lettuce, tomato. Tortilla.
Okay.
You know, you get okay. It.
I get it. All right. Next up, we've got Barcaro Primo opening up. This is a salami bar?
I think that's...
I had a friend who had a salami bar in college.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, we called
it. Is that a joke?
Yeah, we called his room the deli.
Okay.
Guy's name was Meat Sauce.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somehow it all connects.
Yeah, there it is.
But if he had a deli, it's salami bar, same thing, right?
Got it. Yeah. So this is, we should run this by the owners. This is
Meat Sauce.
From Todd Schulte and Corey Donnell, who are the owners and the folks who opened Earl's Premier. So Earl's Premier over there in East Brookside neighborhood, 59th and Holmes, is incredible and has been off to a great start. I think it's only been open for about a year now and is just like packed all the time. It's an amazing spot. If you haven't been to Earl's Premier, it's a it's an oyster bar and restaurant, seafood restaurant, that's amazing on 59th and Holmes. An amazing bar. And then, so they opened that. They're opening this. This is going to be more deli focused. So this is going in Brookside again.
Here's your deli.
I know. Here's nervous. I'm a little nervous because, so this is going in the Crestwood Shops right there on, 56th and Brookside Boulevard area. Those Crestwood Shops in the old Cafe Europa. Focus on deli meats. Like the center of behind the counter is going to be this big red meat slicer. Dude, by the way, meat slicers are so expensive. Deli meat slicer, they're like $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the meat slicer is going to be right behind there. Focus on the article says there's going to be a focus on meat and cheese boards. But I'm hoping that, you know, they get into the sandwiches because I'm not a huge charcuterie fan.
It's the worst way to eat meat and cheese. Name a worse way to eat meat and cheese. Besides it being on the floor, it being on
like
a board.
Like ordering a steak and pouring water over it.
Sounds great.
Slopping it up.
But yeah, I think charcuterie is the worst way to eat meat and cheese.
So salami bar means just like, I think it just means a lot of, I don't know. It could mean a few different things, but in this context, I think it just means like,
it's meant a few different things.
Rare, Italian meats that are going to be hand sliced right there behind the counter. And there's also going to be wood fire pizzas and pastas. This is opening in the spring. I saw the signs already up. So I was in Crestwood the other day. I saw the sign is up. But yeah, they're saying, just like they do with their oysters, source them from the freshest place possible for the oysters. They're saying they're getting their meats from suppliers from Italy that
salami can't be fresh.
No, I know. It's okay. Providers from Italy.
Okay.
One else in the city has.
Okay. And I love the wood fire pizza idea.
I love that.
All right. Because if you're doing wood fire pizza, that makes me think maybe you're going to toast a sub for me too.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I like meat and cheese, toasted. Hot.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
I'm here for like a cold deli sandwich though. I like both.
Yeah, just not on a board.
Just get some sandwiches in there. The entire article, it mentioned pasta, it mentioned pizza, it mentioned boards, it mentioned deli meat, it mentioned salami bar. The word sandwich was not in the article, which has me a little concerned. But I'm gonna, it has deli meats. It has to have sandwiches.
Let's hope. All right. I wonder how much a charcuterie board putting one together yourself there is going to cost. Arm and a leg.
40 arm is the starting point.
All right. Also opening, we've got a Indian fusion restaurant opening up in the Iron District. Is this going to go in one of the containers?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. It's called Elephant Wings.
Yeah. So this is opening on March 11th. So we're a few weeks out still. But Elephant Wings is really cool. I've been following them on Instagram for a while. Up until this point, they've existed only as a private chef experience. So you rent them out. You rent Elephant Wings. They come to your house for like a dinner party for like, 6 to 14 guests.
Why have we not done this?
I know.
We should do it.
The cost is like relatively, it's not too bad. It's like $100 a person, or I think $100 a couple. I can't remember. But like they come to your house, they cook Indian food, they serve. But it's Indian food and they serve it and they tell you about the dish and all that stuff. And so that's how they've existed, up until this point. And now they're opening, their little, I guess you would call it like kind of a food truck concept in the Iron District. This Iron District place is going to have more like handheld eats, so like sandwiches, stuff in bowls, which is different from what they serve at a dinner party, which is much more nicer, like finer dining cuisine. But the Instagram is fire. Like, follow Elephant Wings on Instagram, and you're just going to be like, why haven't I booked this yet for a dinner party?
I hope they still are doing that.
No, they are going to continue doing
it. I'm intrigued.
No, they're going to continue doing the dinner party thing. So,
sounds delicious.
But yeah, opening a place in Iron District.
Okay. All right. Closing is, we're all sad to see this one go. But have you guys ever heard of Dogpatch?
We've talked about it before.
It's an unincorporated town between Kansas City and Blue Springs, or is it east of Blue Springs?
Between Kansas City and Independence.
And Independence. So it's just out there on the east side of town, pretty far out. It's unincorporated, so there's no law. It's lawless.
Essentially.
And by the sounds of the KC Sex Club that's closing now, it was lawless. But apparently, after an insane amount of complaints and I did like a week ago, but I'm paywalled now.
Uh-huh.
But it was insane.
Yeah.
How much? And now it's finally shut down. But I think it had been open for
a
while.
The website's still open.
Oh, it has a website?
Still go to the website. So.
I'm on my work computer. What should I go to?
KC
Sex Club?
Yeah, no, the SPOT. The SPOT stands for Sexy People. It's SPOT, all capital. Sexy People Out on the Town. So
SPOTT.
SPOTT. So this
was a virtual tour.
Dude, don't do it. Don't do it. I did it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So let me just read you the lead in this Kansas City Star article. So Kansas City Star published this.
Can I talk a little bit more about the SPOT?
No.
There's a review here.
Okay. Wait, save the reviews to the end. Let me explain what it is first. All right. So the Kansas City Star came out with this big article. It's a long read in the Kansas City Star about, and the headline is, KC Sex Club has closed, maybe for good. Why was it allowed to stay open for so long?
I would say it's for good.
The answer to why it was allowed to stay open so long is because it existed in an unincorporated area of the metro. So here's the lead. Every Saturday night, several hundred partiers flooded to an obscure industrial patch of the metro called Blue Summit. Blue Summit's the official name for Dog Patch. Bound for a square metal building with a big blue rooster on top of the building. They line up and pay cover at the door. $20 for single women, $40 for couples, $50 for single men. Women were encouraged to dress seductively, according to the evening's theme. This is published on the website. Biker babes on Saturday night, naughty schoolgirl night, dress shirt and high heel night. Pornography played on the televisions. Stripper poles rose from the dance floor. The pool out back, there's a pool in this nightclub. The pool out back beckoned naked night swimmers. Some guests gravitated towards private rooms stocked with ceiling mirrors, leather couches, and sanitary wipes. The more exhibitionist types simply had sex right out in the open of the dance floor. A free show under the club's purple neon lights. The SPOT has never tried to hide its swinger club status. It has partnered with local hotels and taxi companies. It has advertised on adult websites. It has its own website where it describes itself as a safe and fun environment for alternative lifestyles who like to meet each other in an upscale private nightclub setting. But in recent years, the SPOT has seemed to fly too close to the sun. So this is a huge building, a huge nightclub that is open Friday and Saturday nights from like 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. It has a 5 a.m. It's open until 5 a.m. on Saturday nights. It's in Blue Summit. We mentioned Blue Summit. Blue Summit is an unincorporated area between Northeast Kansas City and Independence. Basically, it's got like Truman Road on the east or on the south, 435 on the north, right in there. It used to be a part of a group of cities called Intercity. INTER, Intercity, was this group of cities that consisted of cities called Leeds, Manchester, and Centropolis. Those are like Premier League cities in England. And then Sugar Creek. So Leeds, Manchester, and Centropolis were incorporated by Kansas City. Sugar Creek became its own city, and Blue Summit was just left on its own. It is basically made up of low-income residents who want to be left alone, don't want any oversight. There's about 1,000 to 2,000 people that live in Dog Patch. There's no local police force. Only the Jackson County Sheriff is in charge of it. It got its name Dog Patch because unwanted dogs were dropped off there, and bodies were dropped off there because it's sandwiched in between the meth capital of the United States, which is Independence, and one of the worst homicide rates areas in the country, which is Kansas City, unfortunately. So the spot, which is a club there, opened in 2008 by a guy named Jeff Klein. Again, didn't hide its swinger. It was a swingers club, and people would just come there. They had private rooms for people to have sex in and for people to watch other couples have sex in those private rooms. Again, advertised this. Couples were encouraged to dress seductively. There's no liquor license on file. So they were illegally serving booze, and they advertised it as a BYOB establishment. Basically, the jurisdiction confusion led to all of this. No one wanted jurisdiction over Blue Summit or the spot.
No one wanted the spot.
They would have parties of, they had a party like in 2018. Five people were sent to the hospital because of a shootout that happened there. It was a party of 1,000 people were at this nightclub. 15 security guards. The security guards wear bulletproof vests. They're armed with guns. And essentially the cops showed up and Klein wouldn't leave. So Jeff Klein essentially has been accused of like rape, has been accused of abuse, has been accused of all of these things, but nothing. And the club itself has been accused of, you know, shots are fired there every single weekend. It's a wild place. Jeff Klein doesn't pay his taxes. That was ultimately
shocked
how he got arrested. Just mm-hmm. like, what's his name? The booze guy from Chicago? Al Capone, busted on tax fraud. So essentially, this place has existed with complete immunity, partially because it falls under no jurisdiction. The other weird thing is Klein has all these connections to authorities. So every time there would be an investigation that would open, and essentially it would go nowhere. Basically, they wouldn't find any evidence, or they couldn't find people to testify, or it just got... Basically, everyone was like, we don't know who's in charge of this, so it never got investigated any further. Also, Jeff Klein, the owner, Missouri legislator Dennis Waits, who was the Missouri State Legislature over this area of Jackson County, was Klein's personal attorney on two different cases. Klein, in 2016, was in a three-way relationship with a local Kansas City FBI agent and his wife. Mm. So... It was one of those situations where the FBI agent...
One of those situations, you know.
The FBI agent and his wife are in a relationship, a three-way relationship with Jeff Klein, the owner of this.
Been going on with cops lately. I don't know if you've been on the internet. You seen all these memes?
No.
I'll have to show you later.
Okay.
I missed it too, but now I can't stop laughing.
Okay, so that's another thing. Jackson County Sheriff from 2008 to 2018, remember this opened in 2008... the only authorities over this. There's no KC, no Independence. It's just Jackson County. Jackson County Sheriff from 2008 to 2018. Who was that? That was a guy named Mike Sharp. Probably seen the signs.
Yep.
Mike Sharp had to resign amid a sex scandal when he was in a three-way relationship with Mike Sharp and his wife and an employee of Mike Sharp's.
Or you Jeff Klein's.
Not Jeff Klein's.
Oh, okay.
But draw the connections here.
He was probably hanging out at the spot.
As soon as Mike Sharp resigned, a new sheriff opened an investigation. When the new sheriff opened the investigation, basically sent undercover investigators into the club. The undercover investigators saw the sex rooms, saw people having sex out in the open of the club. The pool in the back, also free to have sex in the pool. The undercover investigators got cocaine, ecstasy, fentanyl, meth, all of that was easily accessible. Klein finally got arrested for tax evasion. Mm-hmm. He hadn't paid his taxes in a while, and that's what finally did him in. The spot, again, SPOTT, website's still open.
Yep.
Website is still operating. You can take a virtual tour if you want. This is straight out of True Detective.
Yeah.
Like, this is a True Detective story. Like, if you look at pictures in this article of Blue Summit and Dog Patch, it is very like True Detective season one. If the crimes that were being committed there, all the drug dealing, all the gun violence, very True Detective season one. This is straight out of True Detective, and it is happening in between Kansas City and Independence right here.
There's 198 reviews. on Google, people putting their real names out there and reviewing this place. Laura says, went for New Year's Eve and it looked like a cafeteria hall with a few party decorations. The bathrooms are worse than a porter potty. Is it porter potty?
No, I thought it was porta.
Maybe.
Portable.
The music was trash. I just left after paying for, you had to pay for parking and to get in as well. So she left at 11:30. Jeff responds to like every single.
Jeff Klein
responds to almost every single Google review.
Oh, God.
Response from owner. I'm sorry you didn't get laid. You came here as a single female and left before midnight on New Year's Eve. That tells a lot about you and your judgment-making skills. LOL, you just can't fix ugly and stupid.
Oh, my God.
These are the things that he's saying. Went for my birth. This is Brett. Went for my birthday, and it was not as advertised. I reserved a seat on top and got sat down low on the dance floor. Night started off great. Anyways, he goes on, and he says, so he didn't have a good time. Response from owner. Brett, this is Jeff, the owner. And I'm very sorry your birthday was not the best one you've ever had. I want to make it right. I would like to offer you a VIP package on me tonight at my birthday party. Please come and be my special guest. And here's Jeff's phone number. Is on. So give Jeff a call if you want. Another great one. This person just used, they did not use a name. But they said, upon arrival, you must first get past the feeling of entering a war compound in Afghanistan, tall fences with razor barbed wire, and enough armed security to halt an invasion. Definitely pay for parking up front. It's worth it.
There you go. There you go.
Pay for parking. You could go for a long time reading these reviews. Uh-huh. It is.
But a lot of them are like, we love the place. Well, me and my husband go and we seek out.
4.1 average rating out of 198 reviews. Mm-hmm. So. A lot of them are, I loved it here, and Jeff will respond to
So this
every
is a, this
comment.
Is a wild story worth worth your subscription to the KC Star. Just absolutely wild and kind of sad, too. Really sad, actually.
Yeah, mostly sad.
Mostly sad. So that's our extended version of closings.
All right. Let's get into what we try this week. Shall we transition?
Yeah, love it.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to?
I'll go first. So this week I tried Lula Southern Cookhouse for Restaurant Week.
Getting hungry thinking about that.
I know, dude. So spoiler alert, it's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The Restaurant Week, it was packed. So I love seeing restaurants packed. During Restaurant Week, it's always going to be a little extra packed because of, more people are going out. But it was packed. Service was great. It took a little while to come out, but like we were on a fun date. We were not in a hurry at all. It came out perfect. So sometimes on Restaurant Week, the Restaurant Week menu items can be like batched or something like that because they know they're going to get a lot of orders from that. This was not the case. I got the fried chicken.
That's what they're known for.
Yeah, they're known. So Lula is a Southern. They've got shrimp and grits and London broils and meatloaf and catfish and pot pie comfort on the menu. Very comfort food. So we started with some peel and eat shrimp. It was this this incredible butter garlic sauce that the shrimp was like grilled in and served in. And then the Restaurant Week menu came with jambalaya, an entree, and then a dessert. The jambalaya was unbelievable, so good. The fried chicken was amazing, and the dessert was apple cobbler or apple crisp. That was also really good. My wife got the catfish. The catfish was awesome. The catfish, Mississippi Delta catfish, was unbelievable. My fried chicken came with mashed potatoes and green beans.
Mm-hmm.
The green beans were the best green beans I've ever had in my entire life. Sorry, mom, but like they were unbelievable. And would recommend Lula. They also have a cocktail option where you can get three cocktails for $25 for their cocktail option. So they had a good margarita on there, but you can also do wine or they have like three cocktails and then basically any house wine, and you can get three of them for $25 to add on. So
that's pretty good.
It was great. It was delicious. The Restaurant Week menu had good value, I thought. So would recommend.
Okay. What I tried this week, I'm gonna be watching college basketball for the first time this year. Watching some college basketball tonight. Sunflower Showdown, K-State, KU. 2.5 point favorites, I think KU is. So it's gonna be a close one. I think K-State's gonna win. And I think Jerome Tang, I like him. I think he's onto something. He basically said, this is just another game, and stop letting KU live rent-free in our heads so much.
Yeah.
Which maybe was a little bit of a reality check for K-State fans. I think he could have done a better job of not saying it's just a regular game because it's not. And I like when coaches hype up rivalries.
Yep.
But I do agree that we can stop letting KU live rent-free in our heads to an extent there.
Okay.
So
I didn't like it.
Agreed with half of it. Didn't agree with half of it. That's where I landed.
Yeah, I haven't loved Tang's press conferences.
The I'll just coach where God wants me to coach.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst answers I've ever heard to...
People are talking about you.
People are talking about you at another job.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
That was tough.
But thankful God told him to come to K-State.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I wonder what those conversations are like. Like, God, have you been watching college basketball lately? God's like, yes. And he's like, so the Texas job is open. You think God's like, well, you know, Texas isn't back yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't go to Texas State, K-State now. Like, I want to be part of those conversations. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that. So, yeah, I'm glad God told him to come to K-State.
Me too.
For now.
For now.
But if God tells him to go somewhere else, then it's not...
It's not Jerome going there.
It's not on his
there.
Authority
yep.
that he's choosing to go to Texas. It's not his choice.
It's not his choice.
God told him to do it. Uh-huh. So, all right. What's next?
What's next is, hey, look, there's KC in the news. Huge premiere for The Last of Us on HBO. We talked about this maybe a month ago or so.
Yeah.
And basically... This huge show based off a video game, right? Video game?
Yeah.
Is they're heading towards Kansas City
Correct.
In the show, right?
Yeah.
That's their destination.
Yeah. So The Last of Us is a
zombie.
Very popular video game. Kevin and I think in that episode, we talked about how little we play video games and how bad we are at video games. Mm-hmm. And all of our favorite games were like all N64 and GameCube and Xbox. Yeah. 360 games.
Yep.
But The Last of Us, huge premiere. Basically, on HBO has these shows every once in a while where, you know, everyone watches it at the same time, or at least I guess everyone I follow on social media, and everyone loved it. Everyone loved The Last of Us. It's got Pedro Pascal in it, and had a great premiere episode, a ton of viewers. And essentially in plot, they are on their way to Kansas City. Some of the shots are in Kansas City. It was filmed in Kansas City, but only 435.
Dang it.
So just shots of 435. Basically, it's a post-apocalyptic zombie type of environment, and they're walking down 435 in one of the scenes, and that's it. All the other... Because in the show, it takes place in Kansas City, but the shots were shot in Calgary, Alberta. So...
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get.
We don't have.
We
that
don't have
money.
The. We don't
we
have
don't
the
have
tax
the
incentive. We don't have the incentive to film, but
to film.
But they placed it in Kansas City, so we got that going for
That's
us.
That's cool.
Better than Sylvester Stallone, who moved his stupid Paramount Plus show when it was supposed to be called Kansas City to Tulsa King.
Yeah,
loser.
And
sly.
It's bombed.
Bombed.
It's bombed. It didn't hit record numbers like Last of Us did.
That's correct.
All right.
And Last of Us changed like all these scenes in the video game. They take place in Pittsburgh, and the show moved it to Kansas City. So.
Let's go.
Suck it, Pittsburgh. I have a at daycare. We drop off at daycare, and then I always have to turn around to go back in the opposite direction. And there's a Steelers fan who's lives right next door to my daycare. I turn around in his driveway.
Yeah,
kind of get in the grass a little bit.
Pittsburgh Squealer fan.
Yeah, getting the drive over the grass just a little bit.
All right, let's see. Personal pine tar. Mine is from a few weeks ago, but I forgot to bring this up.
Thank God. Have you been okay? Not getting this off your chest.
There's been quite the event in the neighborhood. There was 2 weeks ago.
Talking OP.
I'm talking
66207.
66207, Old Overland Park. There was a Scots. Well. First, men just started appearing in my yard with binoculars everywhere.
Dads
across the street. Guys walking very quickly with binoculars hanging off their neck, just all over the neighborhood. I'm like, I think there's a bunch of perverts, some peeping Toms in the neighborhood. Like, what's going on? Turns out there's a Scots Oriole in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And they're bird watchers.
Wow.
If I've learned anything about the bird watching community, is it's a perfect place for peeping Toms to hide.
Oh, good point.
Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if someone was a person who enjoyed looking in other people's
houses,
like George McFly.
George McFly, yeah. That's the
they
first
would disguise
one I
themselves
of.
As bird watchers. Because they just have free
roam. Isn't that
what
roam. He says he's doing? When he gets
probably.
Yeah, he says he was. Yeah, that's what he says he was doing.
Yeah, they just have free roam of the neighborhood with binoculars.
And you can look upwards.
Yeah.
Oh, you can look anywhere.
Yeah. You can look anywhere. And so they just have free roam of the neighborhood with their binoculars. And they're looking for a Scots Oriole, which I guess is native to the southwest of the United States and then it migrates down to Mexico. Whew. So it really didn't make sense why one would be in Kansas City. It's not.
Big article here on birdwatchinghq.com. Scots Orioles in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was big. It was big.
Huge
and
news.
And it was in our parents' backyard and in the neighbors across the street's backyard. So there was just a lot of commotion about it.
No.
And
you were completely wrong. Oh, no, no, no. Sorry. The Baltimore Oriole is up.
It was not the Baltimore Oriole.
Yeah,
it was Scots Oriole, which is in the southwest part of the continent.
The opposite.
So
yeah,
it was wild it was here, but bird watchers, keep it in your own backyard.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you need to go into other people's neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Just, you get to see what's in your backyard and maybe at parks.
Wow, dude.
But don't go through neighborhood with binoculars. I don't trust you.
Scott's Oriole, like, you know, when you look at, like, a heat map?
Yeah.
It doesn't even cross the Colorado,
no.
Oklahoma
it
border.
Had no business being over here.
Wow. That's huge.
It's a mystery why it was over here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. My personal pine tar. Yeah, I mean, this was due. Last weekend, 2 weekends ago, I guess, I went 3 for 3 on my sports teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was nervous that was it? Yeah, it was last weekend. Mm-hmm. Who was our last game against? The Raiders? Yeah. So
Raiders.
So it was, I had
on
Tottenham Hotspur in the morning, Mizzou basketball, and then Chiefs. I went 3 for 3. So obviously, it was due for regression. Tottenham lost this weekend against our bitter rival Arsenal 2-0. It was disgraceful. Mizzou has not looked good recently and has lost a couple straight. And you know, the things that needed to happen for the Chiefs didn't really happen. So over 3. So that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. And then you didn't even get into how bad we were betting this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Either.
Well, those are long shot parlays.
Okay, but like we pick our favorite bets and we suck.
I was better than most.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't keep track. I didn't want to. It was bad. All right, let's get into our mixed plate of our favorite spam emails to get.
Yeah.
So it could be good. It could be bad. But these are the spam emails that we enjoy getting. So I don't know. We're thinking of ideas for Mixed Plate, and I was getting spam emails, the one that I really liked. So I was like, let's talk about it.
Throw it on there.
All right, what do you got?
So my approach to this was like, okay, I get sales, more sales emails than spam emails.
Mm-hmm.
So mine are more like awful, cringe sales emails that I get from vendors and other people that want to sell me their product. So a common one, common as in, I've gotten this from multiple people. The subject line is Jake, not from State Farm. And it's a sales guy with the name Jake. And that's his subject tagline. It's Jake, not from State Farm. And then it's some cheesy thing like, aren't you sick of those commercials just like me? Well, anyways, here's this product that I'd love to sell you. Call me at any time. My name's Jake. And that's how they use emails.
I can't stand on that subject too. I think it's so lazy, the commercials that are done these days that are just like, hey, we have a good product. You know what else is good? This funny thing. It's it's a Family Guy joke kind of.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
That doesn't relate anything to your product at all.
Yeah.
It's not creative. You just wanted to do something funny
uh-huh.
and then relate it
that's
back.
Like every Geico commercial, every State Farm commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, basically, if you sell insurance, that's the type of commercial.
Not always, though. Not always, though. Like Geico is mm-hmm. not always that.
No, not always.
And they
but
tie
that's how they
in
got
better.
Famous. It was like, well, no, I guess not.
Yeah,
but it was like, you know.
I'm talking about.
I'm a bath bomb guy.
Oh, or yeah, the State Farm is the king of it.
Yeah,
like that's a personal thing. Uh-huh. This is a personal price. Shut up.
Yeah.
And then the. The Capital One Banking, that's an easy decision.
Oh, yeah.
You know what else is an easy decision?
Yeah.
Something that has nothing to do with banking our company or anything, but you think might think it's funny. I hate those.
Yeah. What was a good one that I actually do laugh at, though?
Progressive.
Just
not becoming your parents.
Yeah.
But that relates to like owning homes.
Good point.
So they tie it back in.
There was one that I thought was funny the other day, and I was like, damn it.
Okay.
I was ashamed of myself for thinking it was funny. All right. So you have an
Okay. Yeah, you're, my you're meat gonna... number one best spam email you can get is a Redfin or Zillow update with a beautiful house.
Yeah.
Like if you are on a mailing list and you still get emails from Redfin or Zillow, maybe because you just bought a house or just because you like looking at houses in the area and you find a sweet house, it's a great, great email to get. To click through it, waste a little time, but getting that great house or update from Redfin or Zillow, it's a great spam.
Yeah, so we, again, how the sausage is made. Sometimes we just pick a mixed plate and we just have our own interpretations. Yeah. We have very different interpretations of this mixed plate because I'm just going like cringe, hilariously cringe, spam / sales emails that I get. So that's what I'm going with.
Go with it.
A couple that I got this past year and I've gotten before, around Halloween, it's change can be scary. And then it's a picture of the salesperson in their Halloween costume. And like, I don't want you to think I'm scary or change from your current provider to this can be scary. I'll make it as comfortable as possible. And it's a picture of the salesperson in their Halloween costume. And I'm just like, this is too cringe. I have to delete this immediately. I can't even look at it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I'll screenshot it and send it to other people and be like, look how bad this is.
I don't get sales emails.
Yeah.
No one's really trying to sell me much. The only things I ever get, I've subscribed to some HR literature.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll get, you know, do you need help with your training? Or just things like,
Yeah.
Oh, we must have missed you. No, you didn't. Anyways, it's not on my list.
Yeah.
I'm getting spam emails.
Okay.
Another spam email that I love. I love CVS spam emails. I got the Care Pass.
Ooh.
So I used to live right across the street from a CVS, so it's $5 a month, but then you get $10 a month to spend in the store.
Okay.
And I'm a sucker for a good deal at CVS.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're in a pinch and need something, that spam email is always going to get you a coupon or something. So I love the CVS spam emails.
I'll let you finish. And then, because now we're on a little bit of the same wavelength and there are some great spam emails that I like getting, but okay. I didn't put them on my list. So another cringe one that I get is a salesperson saying they don't want to sell me anything. They just want to practice their sales presentation on me and allow me to nitpick it. Even though they're trying to, I'm in a position where like they would sell me that product, but they promise that it's not a sales presentation. They just want to practice it. And they say, I promise it'll be funny because I'll mess up and hopefully you can correct my errors. So that is one that I get. That's
real.
That's real.
You think a robot's writing that or a person?
No, a person's
writing
it.
Came up with that idea.
Yeah, minor people.
They came up with this idea.
Yes. Dude, I'm telling you.
Sometimes I think about working in sales, and then now I'm hearing this. I'm like, this is what you got to do?
So that's brutal. Wild.
That's brutal.
So brutal.
Okay. All right. They're so different.
Kevin just changed his entire career path.
You know what else? Spam email that I love. I don't know how I get this, but somehow I do. I get New York Times cooking advice.
Oh, yeah. Almost weekly. I love those.
I don't subscribe to New York Times, though, so I can't see the recipe, but it gives me great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the New York Times has one of the best test kitchens around, so they perfect their recipes.
Yeah.
So it's a great spot to go to.
You know what else has a great good test
ideas
kitchen?
For the week.
America's Test Kitchen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Would recommend. It's my, there's a, there recipes? Our biggest book is called America's Test Kitchen, and it's like, learn to love cooking, and it's got cooking lessons in it as well.
Okay.
It's fantastic. All right. Side number two for me, I've had people, the subject line was free Albert Pujols jersey.
Sick.
And it was from someone who, because, you know,
You live in Missouri?
I'm in Missouri. They were like, hey, if you take this meeting, I'll get you a free Albert Pujols jersey just for taking the meeting. Just for taking the meeting. That is a very common theme. Just for taking one meeting, I could have had an Albert Pujols jersey. There was another one, a Yeti. There was another one, AirPods. Just for taking a meeting from some of these people. So, but the Albert Pujols jersey, because I'm in Missouri and they're probably in in the Midwest anywhere mm-hmm. close, probably in Florida or something, and they don't know that Missouri has two cities.
Mm-hmm. They don't know that Kansas City's in Missouri.
They don't know that. That's for sure.
They do not know that.
Yeah.
yeah, that's brutal. All right, let's see. My last one. I'm gonna go with a good "We miss you" email.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love the "We miss you" emails, especially when there's some discounts inside. If you just hold off from ordering from Instacart for long enough, Uber Eats or DoorDash, they're gonna miss you.
Mm-hmm.
Who else misses me? The food delivery services, like home, like
HelloFresh,
they miss me. Uh-huh. They want me back, mm-hmm. and they really come you. Crawling to me at my door, and then I take advantage of their deals, and then I don't call them again.
Yeah, love it.
But I love the "We miss you" emails.
Yeah, some of my honorable mentions for you. I open the Costco email every single time. I love the Costco email. So that is definitely my favorite spam. I also love the Zillow. Zillow's a solid one. Amazon sends me good spam emails as well. I always open the Amazon.
They have great targeted ads for me on Instagram that I enjoy. Tires Plus, great coupons too. That's who takes care of my car.
How often do you need a Tires Plus coupon?
Well, just hold on to them.
I feel like Tires Plus is like, it's like Michael's. Like, there's always a sale.
They got my business.
Hobby Lobby, everything is on sale.
Do you get the like NBA come back to school emails? Make you kind of feel like you're not doing enough?
No.
Yeah, I get guilt tripped. That and like a PMP certification emails I get a lot.
PMP certification?
Project management.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, get those a lot. And I'm like, probably just not
just have,
going to do
just
that.
Just have Oracle pay for it.
Yeah, but then I just have to do it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other? I mean, Old Navy super cash whenever that happens.
Brutal ones. I had someone write me a poem once in a sales email.
That's a human doing that.
Yeah, dude.
Do you do that?
No.
Why not? Seems to be working.
I immediately delete it. I do not respond. Like, if you send me an email that says like, hey man, I work for this company. I'm in sales. I'd love to tell you about our product. Do you have any time? If that's the email, if it's two sentences, I will 100% respond to you, and I'll say, if it's something that I'm interested in, I'll be like, yeah, actually, I am kind of interested in it.
Yeah.
If you send...
P.S., I got a free Albert Pujols jersey.
Yeah. If you send yourself in a Halloween costume, or Jake not from State Farm is the subject line, sorry, bud. I don't want to talk. I don't want to have a conversation with you. I don't want to hear a sales pitch from you. I don't want to have a conversation with you. If you just say, like, he knows I'm in sales as well. Whoever's selling to me knows that I am also in sales. So
you know about power openings.
But no, they know how cringe that is. They know that I know that. So they should just say, hey, listen, we're all doing this together. Do you want to meet? Do you have time to hear about my product? Do you have time to hear about my company? Sure.
Okay.
Because that's what I would want. I mean, that's what I want.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, anyways. I can't wait till you. I mean, you're gonna miss out on a lot of great opportunities.
Yeah.
Yetis, Pujols jerseys, pins.
Imagine having a conversation with someone that writes you a poem to try to get a meeting. Having a full conversation with that person.
That would suck. Missing out. I think you're missing out. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Thanks for listening, always. Again, more updates about the show as we continue.
Maybe our mixed plates from here on out should be more like
about the
looking
show.
Back at the show.
Well, now that we've made the announcement, we can do that.
Perfect.
Hindsight's 2020. All right, be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine, and we'll see you around Kansas City.